Hey folks, this is Kevin. On this week's episode of Risk, you'll hear my dear friend, Carrie Kenny Silver.
I thought to myself, okay, Carrie, you're 8 now. Get your shit together.
That and more. But first, today's episode is about people's recollections of their parents. Maybe you have a story like that. Or maybe you have a story about the opposite dynamic, about going through something especially emotional or meaningful with your kid. If that brought anything to mind, it is so easy to pitch us at risk-show.com/submissions.
We'll be right back.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Now here's the show. Folks, this is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and this is Cool in the Gang behind me now, and we're calling this week's episode Mother and Child. Folks, this is the 700th new episode of Risk. It boggles my mind. That is one heck of a lot of life experience that we've featured. That's one heck of a lot of hearts and minds and souls bared on this show. And I am forever indebted to everyone who's worked on the show, who's appeared on the show, or listened to the show. Now, in a little bit, we're going to hear from Peter S. Kim. But before that, a story that Carrie Kenny Silver, a fellow member of my sketch comedy group, The State, shared when Risk was in San Francisco last January. Carrie is best known for playing Deputy Trudy Weigel on Reno 911, but the range of characters she's played in various projects over the years is just colossal. And she is such a genuine sweetheart in so many ways. So here is Carrie now with a story we call Suck on That, Martha Stewart.
My gosh. Hi, you guys. What a cool theater. I'm just talking about the space. So, gifts are my love language. And when I was a kid, I used to love to make cards and presents for my parents. Creativity is currency in my family, so homemade gifts, very much appreciated. And I was a pretty exceptional artist as a kid. I would take dried macaroni and glue it to stuff. So I made, yeah, thank you. I made dried macaroni cards. I glued dried macaroni to vases. I glued dried macaroni to picture frames and most of the items in our home. Much to my parents' delight. And eventually I graduated to glitter glue portraiture, but that's like a whole process I don't have time to get into right now. Suffice it to say, I was an inspired gift giver as a child. In 1978, I turned 8 years old and my parents separated. My dad moved into Manhattan and my mom and I stayed in Westport, Connecticut. And I would spend weekends and vacations with my dad in the city and weekdays with my mom. And that was a really tough year. I was an only child, so it was just my mom and I alone in the house. So when Christmas came that year, I wanted to make it really special for my mom. She was like a master at Christmas. Our house looked like a Hallmark movie. She used to say, you know, I was Martha Stewart before Martha Stewart was Martha Stewart. Which, A, doesn't make sense, and B, was really funny because Martha Stewart actually lived a mile down the road from us, and my mom never met her but was somehow extremely threatened by her presence. But our house rivaled Martha Stewart's, and especially during the holidays, she would go the extra mile to make it just perfect for me. So I thought to myself, okay, Carrie, you're 8 now. Get your shit together. Read the room that is now filled with dried macaroni art. This woman needs a real gift this year. So my dad did take me to Bloomingdale's in Manhattan to pick out anything that I wanted to give to my mom, which was really sweet, but I wanted to give her something that was just for me, you know, something that she really wanted and needed and could use every day. So I started watching her. And one morning, I was sitting in her bathroom, and I was watching her brush her hair. And I thought, this woman really loves that hairbrush. She uses that hairbrush every day, sometimes twice a day. I'm going to get her a hairbrush. I'm going to get her that hairbrush. So I waited for her to fall asleep, and I snuck into her room like a little weirdo. I took her hairbrush and I hid it in my toy bin so I could wrap it and give it back to her on Christmas Day. Inspiring, right? And she had no idea. So the next day I was like, that was so easy. The gift-giving possibilities in this house are now endless. This is shaping up to be a very big holiday for my mom. What's next on my shopping list? So I noticed she used the kitchen scissors a lot. So I took the kitchen scissors and I hid those in my toy bin. But then I was like, you know what? I don't think she loves the kitchen scissors, you know, like she doesn't hum a tune while she's using them like she sometimes does with her hairbrush. I gotta think of something she cannot live without. So I took her contact lenses. And I hid those in my toy bin alongside her book of stamps, her scotch tape, her favorite pen, her good bra, and one of her slippers. And I watched as my mom's life slowly became equal parts frustrating and disturbing. As she wondered aloud if perhaps she had early onset dementia, or maybe we had a stalker that was breaking into our house and stealing her stuff. Which only heightened my anticipation for Christmas, by the way. The more frenzied my mom became, the more sure I was that my gifts were going to be a real hit. That's when my 8-year-old criminal mind really got out of control. And I thought, if I can get away with all this, what is to keep me from dipping into one of those beautifully wrapped gifts that she has for me under the tree right now and just taking a little peek? So about a week before Christmas, I waited for her to go to work. And before I had to take the school bus, with the precision of a safe cracker, I peeled back the tape of one of my gifts. And I pulled the Contempo Casuals box out of the wrapping. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And inside was the pink cardigan sweater with pearl buttons that I had asked for. Now, I was a very caring child, so I thought, I really want my mom to get her money's worth out of this thing. I'm going to do her a favor, and I'm going to go ahead and wear this to school today so it gets another day of use. So I put on the sweater. I wore it to school. It was a hit. I had no friends. That's for another podcast. And when I got home, I folded it up. I put it back in the box. I resealed the tape, slid it under the tree. She came home from work, none the wiser. About a week goes by, and it's Christmas, the big day. I pull the now wrapped, crudely wrapped gifts out from my toy bin, and I watch her open them one by one. Her pantyhose, her Anise perfume, her missing slipper. And I watch the blood come back into her cheeks and the fear drain out of her body as she realized she was not having a mental health crisis. We did not have to file a restraining order against our neighbor. There was no stalker. I had made my mom's life complete. I gave her the gift of relief. She had a newfound respect for all of her items. She was now complete. Everything had been returned. I had given my mom a very special Christmas. And when I opened that pink cardigan with pearl buttons, I gave an after-school special worthy performance of surprise. And she turned to me and said, "Did the kids at school like your sweater?" So, yeah, touche, Mom. Sadly, 8 years ago, my mom passed away. And she was a very organized woman. There were no piles of things to go through. She had taken care of every detail so that it would be easier for me after she passed. But there was this one giant trunk, old steamer trunk in her garage that was locked, and there was no key, which was not like her. So I took care of everything else, and when it came time to open this trunk, I broke the lock, and inside was 46 years of cards and artwork that I had made for her. Side note, glitter glue does not hold up over time, so if you're using that for your archival art pieces, I would stop right away. But when I saw all of these things together, I thought, what am I supposed to do with this? What does she want me to do with this? And then I realized that I had already done it. That moment of realizing she had kept everything I ever made for her, that was her final gift to me. So even in death, my mom is still the most exquisite gift giver. So, Martha Stewart, you can suck on that.
You do. I'm the source and the force you owe your life to, brother.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Amy Poehler here to tell you about a new improvised show from Paper Kite Podcasts, the team that brought you Say More with Dr. Sheila. Check out our new parody podcast, Women Talking About Murder. It's a show about women talking about murder. Every episode features special guests, twists, turns, and the mystery of a missing co-host. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back.
This is Risk. This is Herbie Hancock behind me now, and we just heard from Pretenders the song called I'm a Mother. Before that, someone you can find over on Instagram at Carrie Kenny Silver. Folks, one of our Patreon patrons, Luke, recently sent us this message saying, this donation is for Risk making life worthwhile and knowing I'm not alone in my daily struggles. I work as a nurse, so I see some crazy things. I'm making this donation on behalf of a patient who tried to kill themselves by jumping off of a building. Please keep this show going. I've been listening for years and years, and we need you. We need this show. When we have more people like you, the more comfortable everyone feels with themselves. Thank you so much, Luke. We really do find so much moral support in hearing that. And I also have to give a big shout out and thanks to our latest Patreon member, Jer Van Den Bent. I hope I didn't mangle that. And the bonus story we have over on Patreon this week is a real doozy by the extraordinary Elsa Eli Waith.
Oh shit, what a fucking cosmic joke. I finally get my shit together and the world is ending. Look at that. I'm going to be super present for the end of the world. Look at that. I am so here for this.
And there's so much more. So please help us out by either becoming a member or increasing your donation at patreon.com/risk. And if you want to make a one-time donation, that's at paypal.me/riskshow. Next, we are going to hear from Peter S. Kim, who has been amazing on the show every time he's been on. He's on Instagram at PeterKZ, and here he is now with a story we call Reconciliation.
Hi, I am deathly allergic to silk, and I found out picture day in sixth grade when my mom put my dad's tie on me, and my face blew up, and I still had to go to school and took pictures, and I looked crazy. But anyway, I think it's a tragedy that I'm allergic to silk because I want to be rich so bad. But, you know, destined to be poor. I grew up in Flushing, Queens in New York. Oh! Flushing, Queens, New York, East Coast, in the 1900s, the late 1900s. And my mom was my best friend. My immigrant mom was my best friend. We would go to Sunday breakfast at the McDonald's down the street every Sunday, and she would order a big breakfast and let me eat all the pieces of it except for the pancakes, which I hated, and she ate just the pancakes, and now she has diabetes. But no, she has the genetic type. We were best friends, and we would go hang out. She was my bestie. She was my Thelma to my Louise. You guys know that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite movie. And when I was young, I really attached to that movie because I saw these beautiful, strong, wonderful woman being abused abused and treated like fucking shit by their husbands, and they decide to leave and get into trouble and fly off a cliff and kill themselves. And I was like, yes, that's me and my mom. My mom's like, leave me out of it. But I felt that way because, you know, like Thelma and Louise, my mom and I both had abusive people in our life. It just happened to be the same person. It was my dad. It was her husband. And he was, and I say he was, he's passed now. I made sure of it. No, he was very troubled. He was an immigrant with a lot of issues. He was one of those, you know, those like old school, old world drunk dads that come home and just rage. You know, there's so many of those. My dad was one of those, except he was sober. So it did not, yeah, it didn't make sense. I was like, could you drink? You know, like, make it make sense. But, you know, he obviously had a lot of issues. And I was always walking around on eggshells at home. And I think that's why I started becoming funny, because I would try to, like, be evasive to his moods. And I was acutely aware of tension and how much it was built and the timing of when to cut it. And that was all from a pretty dark place. And all I wanted for my mom was to divorce him. Like, we would go to Rockefeller Center and I would always throw a penny into the water feature and make a wish that my parents would get divorced. And they finally did. They finally did. That's the good part. And my mom became a single mom, and, you know, she did her best. But back then, I didn't really know that. I didn't appreciate her as much, especially when it came to her car. Unlike Thelma and Louise, you know, they had a beautiful 1966 Ford Thunderbird. We had a 1996 lime green Toyota Tercel. And I thought it was the most embarrassing car in the world. And I grew up, again, in Flushing, Queens, around AZNs. If you don't, there's a lot of white people here. AZN is like this, like, Asian subculture that's like, we wear, like, leather jackets with tank tops, and our cars have wings that look like it's going to take off into flight. You know, like, you know those Asians? Shut the fuck up, Silver Lake. Silver Lake, everyone's like, oh. I don't think I can say it, but you know what Asians I'm talking about. The rice rocket Asians. I can say that. Rice rockets. So those are the type of Asians I grew up with. So to drive around a lime green Toyota Tercel stick shift was the most embarrassing thing. And I was the most closeted gay boy. So all I wanted to be was just normal and blend in and not stick out. And boy, this car really made me stick out. And I remember giving my mom so much trouble for having this shitty car. And I remember when I was 16, I was like, Mom, why can't you drive a Honda? Why do you have to drive a Toyota? And she was like, what are you talking about? They're both Japanese cars. And I was like, you don't get me. You know, like, the cool kids drive Hondas. And, you know, we're sitting here driving a Toyota. It's giving poor, you know. And I was so upset. And I felt like I deserved Hondas. And she could only provide a Toyota life. And I remember being so shitty to her. And to her credit, my mom one day brought this Toyota Tercel home, and she was like, bam, 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 outside. And I come outside, and tell me why this woman had put on a giant decal on the window in flame lettering, and it said Honda. And I was like, are you fucking serious? I cannot drive this to school. They'll kill me. You know, like, my life would be ended today. Like, I can't. What are you doing? And she was like, I don't understand you. I thought you wanted a Honda. I'm like, this doesn't make it a fucking Honda. This makes it a Toyota with a sticker that says Honda. This is so trashy. Anyway, so I had a lot of, like, stress driving this car around all through high school. But, you know, it was great because we had escaped my father's darkness and with my little brother in tow, 7 years younger. And so no matter, you know, the car was shitty, whatever, like we had our little unit and it felt safe. And then one day she decided to start seeing a new gentleman and I was livid. I was like, how could you possibly bring another man into our safe space? Like, don't you remember what the last man did? Like, we can't trust men ever again. Like, I was really pushing her to go full lesbian. You know what I mean? I was like, bring in a butch lesbian that could make me a treehouse. You know what I mean? Like, I can't, never a man. But, you know, my mom's toxically straight, so she started dating this tall, in retrospect, beautiful, perfect man, and I just freaked out. I couldn't handle it. And this is way before family therapy, anything, any of that was in vogue. Like, I just didn't know that I was like traumatized. I was going through PTSD from my dad. He was not just like verbally abusive, physically abusive. Like, he would grab anything near him just to hit us. You know, like, it got pretty like scary, but one time it got so ridiculous. Like, the only thing next to him was a vacuum cleaner that was full, and he like bashed it over me and dust flew everywhere and he started coughing from the dust. And I was like, this shit is fast karma, you know, like, so all I thought was like, I have to save us from being in that situation again. So when things started developing with this new man, she approached me and said, hey, this new gentleman wants to get serious and he is being transferred to Virginia. Would you like to move to Virginia? And this is my junior year of high school. Yeah. And I'm like, what? What are you fucking saying? Like, I finally got a grasp on my friends, my social status. I'm keeping this gay thing really locked down. You know, like, I'm like pretending like I'm proud of this Tercel. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really, I found my groove and I can't just uproot. What are you talking about? And she was like, well, this is going to make me happy. And I was like, I don't fucking care about your happiness. I don't care. I can't do this. I can't go. So if you're going to go, then you need to leave and we'll move back in with dad. And my mom was so hurt and she called my bluff and she said, okay, go for it. So she left and the next year was really tough. I entered back into this hell situation knowing how bad it was, but I think I thought at that point, like, the devil, you know. So it's junior year. I'm still feeling kind of not cool. Everybody has a Nokia phone and I still have a pager. So I'm feeling like really like, man, maybe I should have just went to Virginia and fucking started over. And I remember my friends used to call me. We used to prank call a lot. Did you guys do that? Rotary phone. But like landline, we used to prank call each other a lot. And I used to get these prank calls at home from my friends. And I remember I was so like, I used to love them. I used to be like really into them, but I started getting really dark and upset at them. And they would call me and I would scream. And one day I got a call, and you know when you just kind of know it's going to be like a fucked up call, like a prank call or something, I pick up and they don't say anything. Silence. And I'm just like at my limit because I'm already like in this shitty situation. I'm having the worst year of my life. My dad's back in the home and it's getting really abusive, you know, and I just start yelling. I'm like, what the fuck do you want? Who the fuck is this? What the fuck do you want? And just silence. And they hang up. And now I'm really pissed. And then a couple of seconds later, I get another call. I pick up and I'm like, I swear to God, I'm going to fucking find you and I'm going to kill you. And all of a sudden, I hear someone breathing on the other line. And the voice says, hey, it's mom. And at this point, I hadn't heard from her for a year. So I was like, what? And she was like, it's me, it's mom. And it's like, hi, are you okay? And she goes, I'm okay. And she goes, come outside. And I'm like, what do you mean come outside? Where are you? And she goes, I never went to Virginia. I moved to the next town and I got a studio and I was pissed and I wanted to come see you, but I just couldn't. I was really angry that you made me choose this. And I started crying and she was like, but I've watched you and your brother go to school every day. And I was like, what? And she goes, okay, come outside. And I run outside with my brother. And there she is on the corner, sitting in that lime green Tercel. And I was never happier to see that fucking ugly car. I was so happy to see that car. And I jumped in. And my mom had told me that, you know, she didn't have the balls to leave, but she was too angry to reconcile. But she finally made the choice to call. Yeah, I'm glad she did. And we've gotten to a much better place now. But that car really, I never see it around anymore. But when I get, you know, rich enough to wear synthetic silk, I'm going to buy me a 96 lime green Tercel and drive around in that. Thank you so much.
We'll be right back.
Blah, 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 blah.
Woo! This is what I hate about car advertising. I want a car that doesn't need to hide behind the hype. One that's got something to say. And safety. Show me standard dual airbags. Give me an efficient, powerful engine.
I can figure out it's smart if you tell me it's well made and it's gonna last.
Does a value like this exist?
The 1996 Toyota Tercel.
Ah, somebody was listening.
This is Paul Simon behind me now, and we just heard from Peter S. Kim, who'll be in Portland at Helium on May 23rd and Seattle at Hereafter on May 24th. Folks, we have a Risk live show in New York on May 16th and a Risk live show in LA on May 21st. And you can always get tickets at risk-show.com/live. Well, that is all for this, the 700th new episode of Risk. And the whole show will be turning 15 this October, and we'll be sharing more soon about the big anniversary celebration we'll be having this fall in Portugal that you'll all be invited to. Thank you so much, everyone. And folks, today's the day. Take a risk.